We would take your copies of God's Word and open them, please, to Mark chapter 6. We're going to begin reading in verse 31, and we'll read down through verse 44. Mark 6, 31 through 44. And you'll remember the disciples had just come back from their mission trip throughout Israel, and then we pick up in verse 31 with these words of the Lord. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. This is God's word. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, your word is indeed bread for us. It is nourishment for us as your people. And Lord, we pray that you would bless the word today. Lord, we don't want to hear the clever words of men or the preacher. We want to hear your voice and your word and feed on it and grow as your people. Lord, strengthen us, we pray, through your word. Lord, may we hear your voice this day and your voice only. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. I guess of all the Lord's miracles, this may be one of the best known. It's known even by people who don't know Christ. I think everyone is at least somewhat familiar with this. This miracle is recorded in each of the 4 Gospels, and it was a miracle. This is not what some modern liberal rationalization has made it out to be. A lot of these folks call it a miracle of sharing, in which the crowd sees this young boy, and we find that in John's account. Mark doesn't tell us, but it's a young boy who has this little lunch of 5 little buns and 2 fish. But they see this little boy's willingness to give up his lunch to share with others, and then all the other people brought out their lunch that they had been hiding because they didn't want to share it with others. And they call this a miracle of sharing. Others say this is an allegorical interpretation, that the feeding was really on the spiritual bread of life. And then some say, no, it was just a very minuscule piece of bread and fish that the people got. But since Jesus had blessed it, it stilled their hunger and they were satisfied. Now, strange as some of those may sound to you, those are all interpretations that have been set forth, some of them by noted theologians and pastors. But beloved, there's a technical, theological term for those kind of interpretations. Hogwash. Let me tell you what happened here. The Lord Jesus made bread and fish. And without trying to be glib or funny, I want to put this in some modern terms so you can grasp the magnitude of what transpired here. This young boy's mother had fixed him a lunch. It was 2 filet-o-fish sandwiches without cheese or tartar sauce, but 2 filet-o-fish sandwiches. And so what Jesus did was make about 10 to 12,000 filet-o-fish sandwiches right there on the spot. Because there were 5,000 men, and Matthew's account tells us, plus women and children, there could have been 10, 12,000 people. So when I say he made, I don't mean he took wheat and ground it in the flour and made bread and then went down to the lake and caught the fish and cleaned them and fried them up. What I'm talking about is he made the sandwiches and handed them to the disciples to pass out. 50 at a time, 100 at a time, 200 at a time. That's what the Lord did. And the details of Holy Scripture confirm that. So you got the picture now of what happened. So let's look then at Jesus' compassion and his power. You know, when this story began, the disciples had just returned from their mission trip, as I mentioned. They'd been through the towns and villages of Israel. And the Lord said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. The Lord is considerate of his disciples. He knows they are flesh and that they need physical rest. He shows them that he doesn't expect them to do more than their bodily strength can do. The Lord asks for what we can do. He doesn't ask us for what we can't do. He asks us for what we can do. And I think this is an eloquent prescription by the great physician of the need for rest as a primary requirement for service. But as J.C. Ryle said, it's sad but true, there are only a few in the Church of Christ today who need this admonition. There are only a few who are in danger of overworking themselves. The vast majority of professing Christians, he said, are indolent and slothful and do nothing for the world around them. However, for the few who work hard and are diligent in the work of the kingdom, there's wisdom in the concern of the Lord for his servants. Come with me and rest a while. But please notice this. Pay particular attention to what he says. Come with me and rest. He doesn't say go lose yourself in dissipation and distraction of the world. He says, come with me. Don't say, well, I've been so faithful and I've been working so hard in the kingdom, I need to just go out and have a little fun and forget about all that. That's not what he said. He said, come with me and rest. As David wrote in Psalm 62, verse 5, he said, find rest, O my soul, in God alone. Well, that's the plan. But the plans for rest are interrupted by the crowd. They see the boat, and where the Sea of Galilee sits, the hills are just kind of all the way around the sea, at least in around Capernaum and all that. And they see the boat, and they see which direction it's heading, and they just start running that way. And, you know, this isn't a motorboat. You're at the mercy of the wind, so sometimes you're not making that much progress. So they ran along the shore, excuse me, and they're waiting for Jesus and them when they land on the other side of the lake. And Jesus, the text says, was moved with compassion for this great multitude. I think anyone else would have been greatly irritated by this multitude. This rushing crowd has completely spoiled the purpose of their trip. It would have been very easy to say, can't y'all just leave us alone for a few hours? But looking at the crowd, there was only one emotion in Jesus' heart: compassion. For they were like sheep without a shepherd. They had no spiritual food. The teachers of the law left them starved for the truth of God's word. So when Jesus gets out of the boat and he sees thousands of immortal souls, ignorant, helpless, on the broad way to hell, he was moved with compassion for them. So he began teaching them many things. And I think at this point, we need to ask ourselves, do we, like Jesus, have compassion for so many? The great multitude that confronts us each and every day, who are like sheep without a shepherd. Do we care at all about the ungodly and the unrepentant who are right outside those doors there? Do we care about the Muslims, Hindus, Jews, Roman Catholics, Mormons, Jehovah Witnesses, who are led by false prophets, who are truly sheep without shepherds? Those are hard questions, but they're questions that demand an answer. The one who does not care about the souls of others is not at all like the Lord Jesus. But aren't we really, myself included, aren't we more like the disciples than like Jesus? We'll sacrifice a little, but when we're ready, when we're tired, we ask the Lord, just send these people away. Just send them away. We've been here all day. The sun's sinking low in the sky. We haven't had any rest. We haven't had time to eat. Just send them away. It's kind of hard to say that to Jesus, though. We need a good reason. So we can't just admit we're tired of messing with these folks. We can't admit that we're tired of doing what he calls us to do. So, Lord, notice what they say. You need to send them away. It's getting late. They haven't had anything to eat. We know they're starved. They're really hungry. So just send them away. Send them to the towns and villages and let them go buy something to eat. Because this is a very remote place we are. This is desolate. There's nothing to eat here. So just send them away. Those are very brutal words. Just send them away. They're spoken in an effort, I think, to escape the sense of obligation. But what does Jesus do? He places that obligation squarely on the disciples. You give them something to eat. What? What are you talking about? Do you see this crowd? Jesus lays that right on the disciples. And by extension, on us. Look, where are we going to find food for all these people? We don't have money to buy food for all these people. There's nowhere around here to buy food, even if we had the money. You know, the reasons, the excuses begin to pile up. And those all sound like pretty good reasons, don't they? They're like some of our reasons. Where are we going to find the money to sustain this church? Where are we going to find the people with the needed gifts to help this church grow? As an aging congregation, how are we possibly going to attract younger people here? Oh, so many questions. But the answer is standing right there in front of the disciples. Jesus is the answer. He has the power. Jesus says, what resources do you have? Go and see. Go see what you got. Isn't that what we need? An inventory of resources, people, and gifts, and funds, and abilities. And like the disciples, bring them to Jesus. All they could come up with was 5 little buns and 2 fish. That's all. But they gathered them up, and they brought them, put them in the hands of Jesus. 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And you can just equate those to human personality and ability and equipment, when placed in the hands of Jesus, have been enough time and time again to meet great needs and great challenges. Jesus has always willingly given back that which was willingly committed to him. But he's given it back enlarged and multiplied. You may think that you have little in the way of gifts and abilities. Maybe so. True about me in a lot of ways. But a little bit placed in the hands of and dedicated to Jesus, you can see that grow in power, and you can see it bear fruit, irrespective of the size. We kind of excuse the little boy. What good would his little lunch do looking at this crowd? But he brings it to Jesus and says, here, you can have mine. He's willing to give what little bit he has. And so Jesus stood before the multitude and he blessed the food. Now during this time, this first century Jewish country, at mealtime, the head of the house would stand before the table and take a loaf from the table, and he pronounced the blessing on it. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu, melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Blessed are you, O Lord, King of the universe, for you bring forth bread from the earth. And then he'd give a piece to each guest at the table. And I believe Jesus, being firmly rooted in Jewish tradition, probably gave that blessing, because everybody there would know what he was doing and what he was talking about. He's the head, and these 10 or 15,000 people are guests at the meal. It's at this point, it's right here, that we see the Lord Jesus Christ's almighty power. There's nothing to eat here, only 2 fillet of fish sandwiches. And they all ate, and they were all satisfied. And there were 12 baskets full left over. That word for baskets there, kophinos, we'll see a different kind of basket. He's going to feed 4,000 in a few weeks. But this basket was a Cofinus. It's about like a small backpack. Holds about 2 gallons. Some say it held maybe 3/5 of a bushel. But that was collected after everyone had eaten all they wanted. Something real, something substantial, and a lot of it, say 15,000 sandwiches, was called into being, which did not exist. The bare facts of the biblical account don't leave any room for the hogwash theories we talked about in the beginning. It's clear. The very one who spoke and this whole universe came into existence spoke, and there were sandwiches for everybody. You know, his powerful word, the same word that sent manna down from heaven in the desert, as we read earlier, for 40 years, every day except on the Sabbath, there was bread there for the people. They didn't have to do anything except go pick it up off the ground. And I would remind you what Dr. Haley read from Exodus. What did the Israelites see before that happened? They saw the glory of the Lord coming in the desert. And here, by the Sea of Galilee, in this lonely and remote place, these thousands of people see the glory of the Lord if they'll just open their eyes and look. But the question always remains, how many recognized? How many bowed down before what they witnessed? These people knew there were no food there. They see something going on up at the front. Here's a little boy with his little sack lunch. And all of a sudden, Jesus is passing out sandwiches for everybody. Does that not move people? Apparently not, in many cases. We'll see that follow up later. But I think as the followers of Christ, we need to remember and hold dear these facts. We live in an unbelieving and evil world. We live in a world that ridicules the power of the Lord. From creation to this miraculous supper, they try to explain it away. They ridicule it. They try to laugh it away. So how do we stand firm in the faith, in the face of such? When we have only a little sack lunch and we got so many needs, how do we stand firm in the faith? We must think about the Lord's almighty power and his great compassion. We must remember that he can supply the needs of his people even when their resources and their strength are gone. He can create food for his people out of nothing, and he still lives today. He never changes. He is on our side. He is our strength. And saying that, we have that to draw on. But I would point you to one other thing, to the example of the disciples. Jesus brought them here to rest because they were exhausted. They need to rest. But they didn't get a chance to rest until they served 15,000 people and gathered up the leftovers. They bussed the tables when everybody was through eating. 12 people serving 15,000 people their lunch and then cleaning up afterwards. When Christ calls us to serve, we must be ready to push on, to strive, despite the obstacles, to carry his blessings to others. As followers of Christ, that's what we're supposed to do. irrespective of the difficulties. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your power that is there for all who will believe, for all who will put their faith in you. Power to change hearts and lives, to change eternal destinies. But Lord, power for your church. Lord, we've seen it throughout the ages. We have seen your church beleaguered. We've seen it attacked. We've seen it persecuted. Lord, we see it today in many parts of the world. Our brothers and sisters in Christ undergo such things. But Lord, you are faithful. And you are powerful. And you have promised the gates of hell will not prevail against your church, against your people. Lord, help us to hold firm to that faith, that conviction that we are yours, we are in your hand. And Lord, you're all powerful to provide all that we need. Lord, we need to be faithful to that which you've called us to do that which you have set us apart for as your people in this place at this time. And Lord, we just think about the compassion of our Savior. We were all sheep who had gone astray. We needed a shepherd, and he came, the good shepherd, and gave his life for the sheep, that we might have eternal life. Lord, how we thank you and praise you. And Lord, we have this glorious good news, and there are those all around us who have no shepherd, who are lost, without hope. But Lord, we have the answer that they need. Lord, inspire us, teach us. Give us boldness to go forth with the truth of the gospel, the truth of your word, the true bread that they need. And Lord, we just pray that you would take that meager little thing that we have to offer and multiply it manyfold as your word goes forth. Lord, as we serve you in this place, may it all be for your glory and honor. We pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake.